To start conference recording, press 1. The recording has started.
Of the sugya, so we've already been mentioning for the last couple of shiurim that it's a fascinating thing that the Rishonim found in this sugya, a sugya that was really a very, very fleeting havamin. And in the end of the day, it really didn't mean all that much in terms of Karen Kuberas and Karen Lusha. Nevertheless, some of the ABC, some of the yesodos have been developed by the Rishonim within the world of this sugya itself. And there's one last akuda in the sugya that also opens up our eyes for issues related to Ezekiel, related to Tashlumei Mammon and Sfeikas in Mammon, which is going to repeat itself in further sugyas as well, but actually has its roots in this world of the Havamina as well. So just to recap for a moment, in terms of what the Havamina of the Gemara itself was, the Gemara thought that maybe one could make a case that the Keren HaAmah V'Torah is actually referring to Keren Telusha, and Keren Mechuberes would not be subject to the rules of the Psukim Parshas Mishpatim. And the question is, what would the halach have been? Lu Yitzuy, if we would have lived in that imaginary world for a moment, what would we have thought Karen Muedis is? I'm sorry, what would we have thought that Karen Mechuberes is? So one thing we definitely would not have said, we would not have said that it's subject to the rules of Tam and Muad. That's for sure. That's a given. But the question is, what could go on one or two paths? And therefore what? So it's not subject to the rules of Tam and Muad. Therefore, it's always Chayav Nezek Shalem, or maybe it's always Chayav Chatzi Nezek. Either way to go. You know for a fact that that is not the Keren Amar B'Torah to distinguish between the first three times and afterwards, but that still doesn't explain to you which path to go down. So now I have two routes. Either I say, well, Keren Mechuberes is always Chayav Nezek Shalom even from day one, or maybe no. Maybe Keren Mechuberes is always Chayav Chatzi Nezek even time 50. So what would the din have been? So the Gemara is very clear. The Gemara is in the favor that I would have thought, we can go back just for a moment, back to the beginning of the sugya, back to the first of the Mekamos. The Gemara says the end of the first of the Mekamos, Abam Mechuberes, Eima Kulam Wedesi. I would have thought that Keren Mechuberes, a horn that's connected to an animal, what we call normal goring, is always good, even time one. So comes the Rashba, back out to the 13th of the Mekamos, to complete the circle. Comes the Rashba and asks the question on this Kavamina of the Gemara, Kashala, Adrabba. The exact opposite should be true. Eima kula tamahi. If you want to tell me that there's no distinction between Tam and Muad in the first three times, after three times, vis-a-vis Keren Mechuberes, that I can be makabel. I mean, again, it's wrong with the but that at least I can hear, I can accept. But what that lack of distinction between Tam and Muad should translate to mean is, Adra b'kula tamahi l'sham chatzin ezek b'chud. We should say fakir, we should say that Keren Mechuberes is not subject to the distinctions, but it's always Chatzi Nezek. Why does that make more sense to go down that route? I have two paths in front of me. So why is the lesser of the paths, why is the lesser of the payment the more correct path? Very simple, says the Rashba. T'chola afuki mamona, kula l'tevea v'chumla nitva. This is no different than any other Sufik moments. We don't know which way to interpret the pasuk. We're not sure what the Kavanah Satara is. So says the Rashba, well, obviously you go to kula. You don't make a person pay if you don't know what to do. If you don't know what to do, then you don't make the person pay, which is basically what the Rashba just paraphrased for us, the phrase called Hamotzi Mechavel Varaya. This is what the Gemara actually uses, the phrase Zek Kla Gobo Badin. This is the base, these are the ABCs of all the Dinim Amunis. But we're not sure what to do, so we do not make a person pay. How do we know that that's the din? How do we know Zek Kla Gobo Badin? So that's actually a sugya later on at the beginning of the fifth parak of Baba Kama. But the Gemara has one of two possible sources for Hamotzi Mechavel Varaya. The fact that it didn't exist, that's a given. What the source of the din is somewhat unclear. So first the Gemara connects that din to a pasuk. The Gemara comments on the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. When Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai, so at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, so the Torah goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Har Sinai, it's Machlokes and Tanur, Machlokes and Mefarsh and Chumash, whether those psukim really were pre-Matan Torah or post-Matan Torah, that's a whole question in of itself. But at some point, when Moshe is on his way up to Har Sinai, he turns to the people and he says, I'm going up to Har Sinai, but I'm leaving behind some of my assistants, Aaron and Chur, Bibal Dvar, Migash Aleim. Anyone has anything to talk about, go talk to them. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes away for 40 days, and he says, rest of you, Bibal Dvar, Migash Aleim. What does that mean, Bibal Dvar, Migash Aleim? So the Torah Shemapeh explains, Yigash is a lash of Yagish. Yigash doesn't just mean you should come, Yagish means to bring. Mibal Devarim, if you have an issue, if you have a claim, if you have something, Yagish Raya Aleim, you should go and present your claim. In other words, you're not going to get money unless you can prove it. So comes the Gemara and says, within that pasuk, Mibal Devarim, Yagish Aleim, is the yisod of Habotzech Reel of Araya. If you want something, go and get it. If you can't present the proper claim, you're not going to get it. So the Gemara says, I need a pasuk for that. The Gemara asks, Lamli Kras Svaro, we were just talking about this thing last week in the Tiznachia. Mibal Devarim, Yagish Aleim, you need a pasuk? Apostle of Svara said, "Who would have thought otherwise?" The Gemara gives a marshal. The Gemara says, "If you have a toothache, go to the dentist. If you have headaches, go to the doctor. If something bothers you, go take care of it." Means if you have a problem, the other guy doesn't have a problem. You have a problem. You claim he owes you $100. So prove it. So the Gemara says it's such a compelling Svara that Beis Din's not going to act unless they have a proof for the Teveya. What do I need a pasuk for that? So the Gemara says, you're right, I really don't need a pasuk. It's not a svara, the pasuk means something else, and finished. So even though from the simple reading of the Gemara in the fifth paragraph of Akama, when all the dust settles, the source of Amotz and Mechamel of Raya is actually a svara, it's not even a pasuk. There is a Rashi, and then this Rashi comes back to us later on in Bava Kama. The Rashi seems to say that the real Maskaras HaGemara is that actually it is a pasuk. How Rashi saw that in the Maskaras HaGemara is a whole world in and of itself, and we'll get to that in a couple of months down the line. But Rashi claims that when all the dust settles, the real source is actually the pasuk. So again, it's not 100% clear what the source of this din is. Now, sometimes the source of something can radically alter the nature of the din. Very often we spend a lot of time trying to figure out, but how do we know the source for this din? How do we know the source for that din? It's not just academic. Sometimes the source indicates the very essence of the din. So this is a good example of it, because there's a lot of Torahs in the Acharonim about, well, what is the source for most of the variety? If it's a pasuk, then it means something. If it's a svar, then it may mean something radically different. But for Apox, it doesn't really matter what it means. It doesn't really matter what the source is. The statement is a true statement. Hamotzim Mechamel of Araya. And that's the background of the Rashba's Kasha. So the Rashba says, how could the Gemara even dream that if you have two roads to go down, either to make the person always pay Nezek Shalem, or make the person always pay Chatzin Nezek, why in the world would you think that it goes L'chumra, that you have to make the person pay more rather than less? So V'yesh Shalomah. So the Rashba says, the Adrabba, V'nezikin Sveiki Didu L'chachme Ki'isurin. So the Rashba throws a thunderbolt at us. He says, no, this is Nezikin. This is a different parasha. Nezikin, you always go to Chumra. Just as if I have a piece of meat and I'm not sure, can I eat it or not eat it, I have to go to Chumra. The rice of the Chumra like Yisurim. So too, in regular momentous you go to Kula, but in Nezikin you go to Chumra. Now the Rashba clearly is not 100% satisfied with his teretz, because he feels the necessity to offer a second eretz, va'od, yeshloma delifchos b'natlusha iyefshad kavachomu. He says this now. He says in this particular case, it would be almost absurd to say that mechuberes pays chatzin nezek all the time, because then you set up a model that really defies logic. Keren Talusha sometimes pays nezek shalem, even though it's crazy. Keren Talusha is the most bizarre, the absurd type of a nezek. And every once in a while, you pay Nezek Shalem, i.e. if it has more than three times, because again, this is the world of the Hava Amina, that Keren Tlusha is the Keren Amin Batorah. But Keren Mechuberes, which is much more likely to be Chayev, no, then you never pay Nezek Shalem. So Rashi says, that's absurd. That just can't be. That defies logic. So therefore, Nebuch, because of this quirk in Hilchas Keren, we have to, in a sense, go to Chumra. So the Rashi is presenting two different paths. What led Chazal to believe that the world would have been Mechumra here? Normally, the starting point, the baseline of Dini Mamonis is always Safik Mamon Hachal. Motzach of Raya, that's where we always begin every case of every Din Torah. This would have been Mechumra, either because somehow Nezikin is different, or somehow Lifchos Batlush Yav Shadika Mechumra.
And don't you know that you use
for
that
Masechel Varaya?
This is something
in Din. No, so the Din of Masechel Varaya is true also for Sveikas and Din. It's also correct. There may be nuances of differences, but the basic klal applies to the Sveikas and Din as well.
But it's not Masechel Varaya. That's an evidentiary issue. Here, it's clear that the Toveya, whether he's seeking Chatzin Nezek or Nezek Shalem, he has to bring the proof that the event happened. So, whether or not you say Mozi Mechaber al-Varaya, this is just the damages question, whether it's full damages or half damages.
But at the end of the day, you're correct that the phrase Hamotzech Levaraya is almost like a strange phrase to use when we're talking about these kinds of sveikas. What do you mean you're going to bring a raya? We don't know what the din is. So it's almost like
no, but you have to bring a raya that there was a negicha.
No, that's for sure. But the question, even if you bring a raya that's a negicha, it's still not going to hit you nezek shalom because we don't.
That's not a matter of.
So is that's in effect the same issue that it's a strange phrase to say a mosach of a raya. What do you mean bring a raya? No one can bring a raya. We don't know what the din is, but we use that phrase anyway in a sense to describe the fact that you're not getting your money. A mosach of a raya is a nice way of saying unless you can convince us beyond the shadow of a doubt, you're not getting a penny. Or you're not going to get the full amount that you want. So whether you're lacking a raya in terms of evidence, or whether you're lacking a raya because we don't know what the din is, at the end of the day, you're not going to get what you want. So back to square one, the Rashba says, so if the starting point is hamotzeh v'chel v'raya, and you don't get money unless we're convinced that you get it, so why did the Gemara think l'chumra? So the Rashba, two answers. The first answer was, and almost what we call it in a sense, a din klali, a general statement, a sweeping statement, nezikin are different, they're like yisurim, and the Odeh Shlomo Nezikin are not any different. Because of the makeup of this case, it would be bizarre to paskin any other way. It would just be illogical to paskin any other way. So we want to focus on the first answer of the Rashba, because that's really the one that drew a lot of attention. So all the lady Rechavonim write that if the Rashba wouldn't have said such a thing, if one of my Talmidim would have said this, I would have said, what? I said, Sofek Nezikin is L'chumra? It's just absolutely not true. It's contradicted by numerous sources in the Masechet Bava Kamma. There's a Mishnah at the end of the third Perek of Bava Kamma that talks about all kinds of sfeikas in Ezekiel. We're not sure whether this ox gored, whether the other ox slipped. I claim you owe me $100, you broke my window. The other guy says, I don't know yet. All kinds of sfeikas. And the Mishnah says time and time again, so what kind of rule is that? Suffolk Nezikin is Suffolk L'chumra Ki Yisurim. It's partially not true. There is no such rule called Suffolk Nezikin, Suffolk L'chumra Ki Yisurim. It's contradicted by multiple sources. So what in the world does the Rashba mean? What is the significance of the statement of the Rashba? So there is a beer in the Rashba that really connects certain things we spoke about back to the very, very beginning of the Shiur of Bava Kamma, and really is an eye-opener in terms of the whole parsha of Nezikin, and it touches on many, many different akudas of Nezikin. It's found in Reb Baruch Be'er's Sefer. Reb Baruch Be'er was Bichah Shmuel, was a Talmud Muvuk of Reb Chaim. Those have heard me speak in Jerush about Reb Baruch Be'er in the past know that it always touches a very, very, very soft spot of my heart for Reb Baruch Be'er, not just because he was one of those who were the link in the Mesorah back to Reb Chaim, and he was such a major, major player in terms of the yeshiva world right before the war. But Reb Baruch Be'er, on a less significant note, also is known for having a beautiful voice. And it was a little bit of a strange phenomenon because he was about as litvish a Rosh Yeshiva as you get. But they say he had a beautiful voice and he loved to sing. And there are stories from people who learned in confidence and learned before the war by Reb Baruch Be'er, who would recount about Reb Baruch Be'er with Daven for the Yomid, and he would lead Zmiras and Yom Tovim. And they said he just had a beautiful, beautiful voice. So a couple of years ago, one of his, I think it was a Talmud of his already, Reb Baruch Be'er was ready. He was nifter otot right as the war was beginning. He actually died died from the tsar of the war, but he was actually died a natural death at the very, very beginning of the war. So one of his Talmidim of Talmidim put together some nigunim that Reb Baruch Be'er had sung in the yeshiva back 70, 80 years ago, and they made a CD out of it. Because anyone wants to have it in my car. So, Reb Baruch Be'er's Negunim. So, I happen to love it because of this beautiful, heartwarming Negunim. So, my kids always laugh at me. Whenever I put it on, they always turn it off. They say, but it sounds like we're in Poland. I said, because we are. I said, that's exactly what it sounds like. But some of them are absolutely absolutely beautiful. So, whenever I need a little bit of extra chizuk, so I put on a Negun for Reb Baruch Be'er. So, anyway, so. Zmira say alichu kecha. The Torah is the ultimate song, so we'll say over Nigin for Reb Baruch Be'er. We'll say over his Shtichel Torah on this Rashi Gimel Bava Kamma. So Reb Baruch Be'er goes back to something that we spoke about back at the beginning of Bava Kamma, about the issue that in the parish of Nezikin there are really two different parts to it. There's the parish of Mabinus. The Torah says you dig a hole, you got to pay. You lit a fire, you got to pay. Your animal gourd, you got to pay. But then there's a second aspect of Nezikin, and that's the Isser. The fact that what you did was something that was wrong. What you did was ethically, morally wrong. You dug a hole in the street. You weren't careful with your animal. You weren't careful with your fire. You did an Aveira above and beyond the fact that you're going to pay for that Aveira. You did something that was wrong. You may remember we had this way, way back on the day. Way, way back in the base, when we spoke about the two different parts of bor, we quoted a sheet of Mekubetzes that says that when a person digs a bor, so in addition to their paying for the bor, they also violated an isser of digging the bor. And it was clear for the Shita that it was an Issa D'Oraisa. We weren't quite sure what that Issa D'Oraisa was. We spoke about V'Hafta L'Recha Kamocha. We spoke about the evil Osite Miksha. We spoke about multiple different sources as for where exactly to pin down what the Isser of Digna Bor is, what the Isser of lighting a fire is, what the Isser of letting the animal run wild is. But in between the lines, there seemed to be some kind of almost like not in terms of dollars and cents, but there's something that I did that was fundamentally, religiously, in a sense, wrong by being mazik somebody else.
Whether or not you're mazik somebody else. I would think even if you're not mazik.
You mean if I dug the hole and nobody fell in? Right. That's like a lomda shashah, general lifter eva shayla. If, let's say, I give a person treif meat to eat, and he doesn't eat it, he throws it out. So did I violate lifter eva or not? Is lifter eva self masiv machshavat chila, or is it just good? That's a lomda shashayla. So get back to the story. So they're clearly, you know, in between the lines, there seem to be these, I don't know, is someone who had a mute this? You know how to mute this? Is one of them?
Star 9?
That was a sneeze.
Oh.
Sintai. Okay. We'll move to this. Okay. So the question is, what is the relationship between the Chi of Mominus, which is 1,000 cents, Tashlumin, and this quasi Isser? Again, we haven't exactly pinpointed precisely what the Isser is, but somewhere in between the lines, we seem to think there is some kind of an Isser. So comes the Baruch Ber and says, once we've ascertained that there is some kind of an Isser here, every time we deal with the Shaila Din Mamonis, the Shaila Din Mezikin, we're almost asking two different questions. We're asking question number one, are you going to be chayav to pay or not? And we're also asking, is what you're doing a bad thing? Is what you're doing an Isser? Is what you're doing is an Aveira? Now, why is that important? Because whenever we ask questions in halacha, it's critical to identify what area of halacha we're in. Are we in dinim mamonos, or we are, in a sense, in issur v'hetar? You know, many people, before they start learning in the morning, they say the tefillah of Rabban Chunin ben Hakana. So they ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, they should be matzliach, bein b'din issur v'hetar, bein b'din mamonos. So very often when you're learning, so it's quite clear what's mamonos, what's issur. You're learning Masechah Shabbos, you're not really learning dinim mamonos. You're learning Bava Basra, you're not really learning Issa Beheter. And every once in a while, you reach an area of halacha that has a combination of both. So Bava Kama is, in a certain sense, a little bit of both. It's obviously primarily Dina Mamonos, the first Masechta of Ezekiel. But on the other hand, there is a dimension of Issa Beheter to it, because every time I dig a bore, I'm doing something that's wrong. Every time I light a fire, I'm doing something in a sense that may be wrong. So now, this opens up a question for us. Well, how do we paskin Shilas in Ezekiel? Should we paskin Shilas in Ezekiel through the lens of Dina Mamonos? Or should we paskin Shilas in Ezekiel through the lens of Issa Beheter? Because the emphasis is they're both true. They're both aspects are correct. And it's going to be a big difference. Because if we look at Ezekiel through the eyes of Mamonos, we're going to plug in the regular rule called Hamotzeh L'Chameh L'Varaya. If we look at it through the lens of Isurim, then we may want to plug in other rules, Safi D'Raisa L'Chumra, other kinds of rules that may lead us in different directions. So now it's coming a little bit less clear what our take is, what our very essence of viewing Dini Mamonos is as relates to Nezikin. Is Nezikin pure Mamonos? Not really. Is it Paskin through the lens of Mamonos? We're not quite sure. Through the lens of Isurim? We don't really know. So that's the first child. That's the first suffering that Baruch Beth throws up. Food for thought. Then he moves into the next realm and eventually he's going to connect all the dots. Baruch Beth says, you know, we've already seen that there are a few different Pturim in Uchus Nezikin. There's a p'tur, Lamash Labor, Bor doesn't pay for Kalim. There's a p'tur of Eish, doesn't pay for Tamun. Shein Varegel doesn't pay for Shusarabim. Karen doesn't pay Nezik Shalom the first couple of times. Every one of them, just about every one of the Mazikim. Other Mazik doesn't have too many coolers to it, but just about all the other Mazikim, Mamam Shehizik, each one has its quirk to it. Each one has its special parsha. Each one has its Xerzakosu. This learned out from that pasuk and that pasuk. It's all psukh, it's all based on Xerzakosu, all dinim deraisa. Every Mazik of Mamadis has some kind of a cooler to it. One can raise the following shaila, says Baruch Ber. How do you understand these kulas that are built into the system? Shein v'regel doesn't pay b'shizirabim. Bor doesn't pay b'kelim. Eish doesn't pay b'tamun. One can understand those kulas in one of two ways. Either one can understand that these are quirks in tashlumin. These are kulas in uchas tashlumin. Namely, Beis Din can't make you pay for shein v'regel b'shizirabim. Beis Din can't make you pay for tamun b'eish. Beis Din can't make you pay for kelim b'bor. So in terms of Didi Mamonos, we're going to let you go off scot-free. Does that mean you're not a mazik? In the end of the day, the guy's animal fell into the pit with his expensive china, and the china broke. So in the end of the day, your pit caused him a loss of china. So Basin's hands are tied. Now we know there are other cases in halacha where beis din stands the time. We have whole areas of halacha called patur medini yodim b'chayav medini shemayim. We have a lot of areas of halacha, a lot of sugyas like that, where some technicality in the system, not a quirk of the system, because Baruch Hu set up this technicality system, that not everything is enforceable in beis din. There are dinim mamonos that are enforced by Kodesh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave most of the Dinamamnus to the Beis Din Shamata, and there's some things he reserved for himself. So it could be, for whatever reason, Chochmas HaBoyre is, that there are certain areas of Mazikin that even though you are a Mazik, you're definitely Chayav, quote-unquote, to pay, but we can't do anything about it, and therefore you're going to go off free, we're not going to enforce, we're not going to make you pay. Is that the pshat? All these Peturim of Chatzin Nezek for Shortam, Shein V'Rega B'Shus HaRabim, Bor, Kelim and Bor, Tamin Onesh, all these pturim, just pturim in the tashlumin, but in terms of beis din shamali, you're really chayev, or to carry over to what we started with, in terms of the issel hazik, you violated an issel hazik. If I dig a pit, and somebody's kelim breaking that pit, and he suffered a $10,000 loss, on that same rasha hamazik as the other fellow, it happens to be that if the other fellow's shore fell in, then beis din makes me pay. If the other fellow's china falls in, then beis din doesn't make me pay. Why is that? Go take it up with the Beis Din Shamala. So I state in the Torah Kedosha, Shor v'lo Adam, Chamor v'lo Kelim. That's the way it is. But in terms of the Issel Hazik, the Issel is identical. At the end of the day, cause the guy lost some money. Or if the person's, my animal eats up your fruit sitting in the middle of the street. So I'm Mazik. Beis Din's not going to make me pay a penny for it. I mean, maybe I'll pay another kind of tashlumin, not for now. But Shein v'regel, the Mazik, I'm not going to have to pay because Ubiya b'steyacher, Kach Nemra Alocha, that was transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ubiya Bisteyach Elamayit Rishis Arabim. So Shein V'Regel doesn't pay in the Rishis Arabim. So that means I'm not a Mazik. At the end of the day, my animal trampled on your stuff. At the end of the day, my animal ate your fruit. So I'm not a Mazik. What's up with Mazik? I'm a Mazik that's not enforceable in Beis Din. So, or maybe, no, maybe, licked in this parasha, within this parasha of Kalim Bebor, Taman Be'esh, Shein V'Regel, Rishis Arabim, Chatzin Karen the first three times, within these coolers of the Torah, the Torah is saying, these are not mazikin. You're not called a mazik. I, the guy, suffer. It's not my responsibility. You suffered a loss of money. It's not my problem. Kach nem ralocha, that Caleb Bebor, I'm not called a mazik altogether. So it's not clear, says Rabbi Achber, any and every time we speak about these pturim, each one of them, we have to ask ourselves the question, are these pturim just in uchus tashlumin? The pturim just in the role that Beis Din has of enforcing monetary payment? Or they're much deeper than that. They're bechlal not mazikin altogether. These are not considered to be my responsibility. There's no aveira, there's no issa, there's no benon lamokon, no benon lechavero. There's nothing, zero, absolutely nothing. So then comes Rebbe Baruch Besofa, he's presented to us two different shailas. So shaila number one was, he tossed around that question about every mazik is mamon and isser, and he's not quite sure whether you look at it through the lens of isser or mamon. Number two, he tossed out the shaila for us, these pturim of mazikin, this unique pturim of mazikin, are they pturim in the etzem shem mazik, or are they just pturim in the tashlumin? That's the second shayla. And now he says, the third nekuda is, the answer to the second nekuda is that it's not always necessarily the same. Not all pturim are created equal. The ptur of shein v'regel b'shus harabim is not necessarily the same lumdus as the ptur of Caleb Abor. The ptur of the first three times of shor is not necessarily the same ptur as Tamim Ve'esh. It's not always the same. Sometimes certain pturim may be more subject to declaring you're not a mazik altogether, and other pturim may be subject just to say you are a mazik, but there's a ptur tashlumin. How would you ever know? You have to have Ruach HaKodesh. How would you ever know which is which? It's not that difficult, says Rebbe Achber. You think about it a little bit, and you ask yourself a couple of very, very pointed questions. It says, take a look at any given ptur and ask yourself, wherein lies the ptur? What is it about this ptur? Does this ptur emanate from the fact that you didn't really pesheya bishmira as significant as we thought you were? This is not an absolute pesheya bishmira. The mazik almost has an excuse for what happened. It wasn't really his fault, so to speak. Is that the nature of the ptur? Well, the ptur doesn't make any logical human sense to us. It's just a ptur bi'alma. If the nature of the ptur is that there is some really legitimate counter-argument that the mazik is saying that I can't really be held completely responsible, so that leads us to believe that the ptur is in the shei mazik itself. That the Torah accepts that excuse, and the Torah says, we're not holding you accountable. You didn't really do anything wrong. You have legitimate reason to explain why that damage happened. It wasn't really your fault. Like sometimes, you know, a kid's a little, it wasn't my fault. Sometimes that's a legitimate excuse, sometimes it's not. So when it comes, let's say, Lamashal, to Shein V'regel B'Shisarabim, that's the easiest example. Shein V'regel B'Shisarabim, you left your fruit in the middle of the street, and my animal stepped on it. My animal ate it. So now we come to Din Torah. So you come screaming, huffing and puffing, Yechai, have to pay me, Shein V'regel, you owe me $1,000. And I say, wait a second, hold on. You left your fruit in the middle of the street. Animals have a right to walk in the street. There's an animal lame animal, there's a lot of walk in the street. I'm in the right, and you're in the wrong. Now, at the end of the day, I'm sorry that my animal caused your damage, but I wasn't really responsible for that damage because I didn't really do anything wrong. I wasn't Pasheh B'Shmirasi B'Chlal. So comes the Bar and says, when it comes to Shein V'regel B'Shisarabim, you can't turn around to the Mazik and say, well, you're still Chayav B'Dei Shemayim. You still have to pay the person if you want to be Yotzi Yedei Shemayim. You're still a Mazik and you still really theoretically owe the person money. No, I don't. I don't owe him any money because, in a sense, I didn't do anything wrong. I was not Pasheh B'Shmirasi. I let my animal do what it was allowed to do. You were the one who was in the wrong. And the Torah just confirms that by saying, so the Petur B'Shisarabim is very, very obvious that we cannot turn around to the Bala Behema and say, true, you're Potter and Bezim, but you have to pay Yedei Shemayim. Not true. Even the Shemayim, even Erev Yom Kippur, he doesn't have to pay a penny to the person, because he b'chlal wasn't the Mazik. The other guy was responsible. But let's go to another Petur. Let's go to the Petur like Caleb Babor. Caleb Babor, does that make any sense to you? I mean, nobody would have said that in a million years. I come to Bez and I say, you, Meshuggah, you dug a pit in the middle of the street. And I say, no, it wasn't my fault because it was your China that broke not your animal's leg. So the quote for the animal, I have a leg to stand. Meshuggah, what kind of response is that? So, Eloa, we defer to the Rabban Shalom, Kamishba Lelekim Hu, the Rabban Shalom Gazak, Kamar Velo Caleb, the Rabban Shalom will make you pay in Bez and Shalmala. You know, we can't do anything, our hands are tied. So says the Baruch Ber, that kind of a p'tur of chamor v'lo kelim, obviously is not a p'tur of the etzem ha-mazik, obviously that's a p'tur of tashlumin. So the answer to the question of Baruch Ber is it depends, it's case by case. So now we get to the tricky one. Keren the first three times. The Torah says, v'chatz v'skaspel, the first three times, you don't have to pay nezik shalom. A quirk. It's different, it's a p'tur. We never heard of this by any other mazik. What's the nature of this p'tur? The fact that the first three times you get away with paying chatzi nezek. How do you understand that? Is that similar to the p'tur of Kalim Babor? Or is that similar to the p'tur of Shein V'regel B'Shisarabim? That's going to be a tricky one. So comes the Baruch Ber and says, what's the real mechayev of Karen? Why am I chayev to pay for Karen in the first place? If you remember, we spoke about this in the last sugya. Karen is not really so normal. It really wasn't Ola Ladas. I really didn't have to anticipate that my animal is going to go crazy in the middle of the street. It's unlikely it's going to happen. It's not a knas. We pass it's a knas. It's really kind of unlikely. But why does the Torah make me pay? So we learned in the last sugya to make me extra specially careful, to make me watch, to make me go the extra mile. That's the Kavanas Torah. That according to pure logic, I probably shouldn't have had to pay anything the first couple of times. But in order to make me be shomer my shore a little bit more, I have to pay chatzi nezek. Says Rebbe Achber, the Torah is holding me responsible in shmiras hashor vis-a-vis chatzi nezek, up until it's capped at chatzi nezek. To pay more than chatzi nezek, the Torah never was mechayev me in shmira, because the starting point of short tam is I should never really have to pay. Short tam is almost like shein v'regel b'shisarabim. It's not my fault. It's a legitimate response of the mazik. It's not my fault. It really isn't. My animal went crazy. I didn't really expect it. True, the Torah made me go the extra mile, but it only made me go the extra mile at Kambalo Yaisa, only to the point of Chatzin Nezek. So past Chatzin Nezek is not a mazik altogether. So strangely enough, each time you pasket in each one of these peturim, you have to ask yourself, is it a p'tur from the Etzem Nezek, or is it just a p'tur Tashlumin? And the answer is different. So Bor was obvious in one direction. Shein V'regel was obvious in the other direction. And Karen, says Rebbe Achber, is probably closer to the model of Shein V'regel than it is to the model of Bor. So we have all these three pieces of this puzzle swirling around in our heads. So on the one hand, we have a question, how do we view Nezikin? Do we view Nezikin through the eyes of Issa V'Hepta through Mamanus? Very, very tricky, because there are two parts to the Nezikin. Then number two, we have a Shaila about whenever we have Pturim in Nezikin, what is the nature of the Ptur? And then we have, number three is, The most important one that's relevant for us is the Karen one. Is Karen closer to Shen Varegel, or is it closer to Kalim Baboor? Baruch Bey just convinced us that's probably closer to Shen Varegel. So now that we have all three of these pieces of the puzzle together, now we have to connect the dots. But we've done Shachris first. So hopefully it's a Shem on Friday, so we'll put together all these pieces of the puzzle and try to understand. This is all Azakdom. This is the Shia Claudian cabinet. If you're the first day of this modern cabinet, this is Chandra Ashba. Took you probably about 3 hours to get to this point, but he's going to finally get to the punchline. What's Pshat in this otherwise very, very difficult Rosh for the game of the I think next week I may have to switch to Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm not sure yet. Is that a problem? Is Monday a problem for anybody per se? Okay, I may have to be somewhere early Tuesday morning. I'm not sure yet. So we'll get to talk to
Karen.